Let's read together Isaiah chapter 4. In this chapter, we have a prediction and description of the coming millennial kingdom of Christ on this earth and the spiritual and physical conditions that will characterize Jerusalem at that time. Isaiah chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach." In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Let's begin our study of this chapter in Isaiah with some background notes. What is verse 1 of this chapter speaking about anyway? And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name." Is this prophecy of the future or for today? After all, you could have your choice of a wife from seven different beautiful women who all wanted to marry you, and they all promised to be self-supporting. Not a bad deal. I'm so sorry. This is not a prophecy for today. Now, we need to look at the context to see when this prophecy is fulfilled. Notice that verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 4 properly goes with Isaiah chapter 3. Many of your Bibles point this out with a break in the text between verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah chapter 4. Noted Bibles generally put a subtitle between these two verses. So verse 1 properly goes with the subject matter of Isaiah chapter 3. Now a new subject begins with verse 2 of chapter 4. The subject of Isaiah chapter 3 has to do with the consequences of rebellion against the Lord. When people rebel against the Lord, there is a breakdown of society, the judgment of society, and the humbling of society. When Isaiah spoke about the day of judgment for Judah and Jerusalem in Isaiah chapter 3, he was primarily thinking of the judgment that would come at the hands of the Babylonians in the 6th century B.C., when Judah was conquered and Jerusalem was burned and the temple of the Lord was destroyed and the people were taken as captives to Babylon. Because so many men in Judah were killed in the fighting, at that time there was a depletion of the male population among the captives and among the refugees that were left in the land. So the conditions described in verse 1 of chapter 4 were literally fulfilled when the Babylonian forces besieged and conquered Jerusalem in the 6th century B.C. However, because there is an eschatological dimension to the day of the Lord in Isaiah's prophecies, as we've seen, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 was not completely exhausted in its 6th century B.C. fulfillment. There will come a time in the future when these conditions again prevail. That time will be the tribulation period of the last days. At that time, many will be killed and die because of warfare and plague. And there will be a depletion of the male population. And the conditions of verse 1 will again prevail. That time of judgment will immediately precede the return of the Lord to set up his millennial kingdom here on this earth. That millennial kingdom is now described from verse 2 on to the end of this chapter. That brings us then to our doctrinal teaching points for Isaiah chapter 4. Doctrinal or teaching point number 1. Spiritual conditions will be different during the millennium. Spiritual conditions will be different during the millennium. Verses 2 through 4. The branch of the Lord here in verse 2 is a reference to the Lord himself. This is one of his messianic titles. He is the branch in the genealogical tree of David. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. And also Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Zechariah 6, 12 and 13. When the Lord returns to this earth and sets up his glorious kingdom, he will direct the building of the millennial temple. This temple is not the church today, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but the temple here is a literal temple that will be built on the temple site in Jerusalem. A description of this millennial temple, including its dimensions, is given in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. Most likely, the phrase, the fruit of the earth, in verse 2 here of chapter 4, is another reference to the Lord himself. He will be the pride of the believing Jewish remnant in the land at that time, as we read here. Now, what does the phrase, the survivors of Israel, or those in Israel who have escaped, in this verse mean? And then in verse 3, and it will come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. What's the meaning here anyway? We know from the rest of Scripture that the tribulation period of the future will end with the Battle of Armageddon, when all the great armies of the world will be gathered together in Israel and the Lord will return in judgment. Then there will be the judgment of the nations, called the judgment of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25. This judgment will take place in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, according to Joel chapter 3, which will be in the Jerusalem area. Jerusalem will be cleansed and prepared for the kingdom. Verse 4 once again, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Those who survive this judgment, from Israel and the Gentile nations, will enter into the earthly kingdom of our Lord, whose capital will be Jerusalem. These are the survivors of Israel who have escaped death, and those who are left in Zion and remain in Jerusalem. These are the living righteous who will inherit the kingdom. They will be called holy and will be part of the 1,000-year earthly kingdom of our Lord, known as the millennium. What a wonderful kingdom that will be. How different it will be from the past and the present. Righteousness and holiness will prevail and be the mark of the kingdom, not wealth or worldly power and prestige. Spiritual conditions will be different during the millennium. Doctrinal point number 2, physical conditions will be different during the millennium. Physical conditions will be different during the millennium. Verses 5 and 6. Then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain. Now, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that there are some Christians who don't believe in the millennium. They are known as amillennialists, that is, no millennium. They take all of the Old Testament passages that we believe refer to this future millennial kingdom of Christ and spiritualize them or allegorize them and make them apply to the church today. But this is very hard to do with many Old Testament passages. For example, how do you spiritualize verses 5 and 6 here in Isaiah chapter 4? Try it. It's impossible if you're going to make the details mean anything. Well, what do these verses mean? We believe these verses refer to literal changes in physical conditions that will take place in reference to Jerusalem, the headquarters and capital of our Lord's millennial kingdom. The Lord will set up his throne in Jerusalem and reign from there. Mount Zion, here in the context, is another name for all of Jerusalem. We know from both Zechariah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 47 and other Old Testament passages that there are going to be topographical changes in and around Jerusalem in the future when the Lord returns to set up his earthly kingdom. And look back at chapter 2 of Isaiah, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Isaiah 2, verse 2. Remember that we said then that this refers to the millennial kingdom of Christ, when all nations will be subject to the Lord's rule. Well, it looks like the part about the mountains is to be taken literally. Right now, for example, Hebron, which is about 20 miles south of Jerusalem, is higher in elevation than Jerusalem, but it will be lowered in the topographical changes that take place in the future. That whole area, of course, is even now subject to earthquake activity because of the geological rift running the length of the country. And now here in Isaiah chapter 4, we see that there will be some kind of protective covering or canopy over earthly Jerusalem during the millennial kingdom. It will give shelter from the heat of the sun and from rain and storms. This protective canopy will appear from a distance as a smoking cloud by day and a flaming fire by night. It kind of reminds us of the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that God used to guide and protect the children of Israel in the wilderness, doesn't it? In view of the description of the new heavenly Jerusalem in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, some credible Bible scholars have suggested that during the millennium, the new heavenly Jerusalem, which has no temple, is like a satellite city hovering over the earthly Jerusalem, which we know does have a temple, as we've already seen. Now, if this view of the new Jerusalem is correct, the next logical question to ask would be, is this protective canopy only over earthly Jerusalem or also over the new hovering heavenly Jerusalem as well? We don't know for sure. But one thing we can say for sure, physical conditions will be different during the millennium. Now, what about practical application from Isaiah chapter 4? Try describing summer to a person who has only known winter. Try describing summer to a person who has only known winter. When we talk about how everything is going to be so different in the future, not just in the eternal state, but also in the millennium, some folks have a hard time grasping the truth that such changes are possible and find the amillennial interpretation more convenient. Well, remember this illustration. Suppose in the middle of January, in New York City, or Boston, or Chicago, we were trying to explain to someone what summer would be like in just a few months, and this person had never experienced summer or even seen pictures of it. All they knew was snow and ice and cold. Now try describing grass and leaves on trees and flowers and warm sun and swimming and shorts and picnics, all to come literally in just a few short months. They would probably think you were dreaming of unreality. Do you see the illustration? Try describing summer to a person who has only known winter.